tonight, Bez Hashem, we're going to finish what I feel we need to do in this maimer from the Rebbe Yashar from Lubavitch. I'm not going to finish the entire maimer. The last part is how it all ties into the Indian of Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah Bikur, which is always beautiful. That's more for Kisavai. And that's not our Indian here, to learn the parasha. The Indian is to understand what happens when we do mitzvahs maisis. So we were on page Tafresh Mem Vav Ois Gimel, where the tzaddik was explaining the difference between a hamshacha, drawing godliness into this world by means of speech, dibur, which certainly is effective in drawing from that infinite light of Hashem to this world. And the generation of the Midbar, we spoke about last week, which comes from the word Midaber, speech. The generation of the Midbar did not want to come into the land, did not want to come to Eretz Yisrael. This was the root of the sin of the Miraglim, of the spies. Midbarech Na'ave. You remember? The desert, they said, is beautiful. Why? Because Dibur in their eyes, in their mind, conversing with God, or making brachas and through speech, which is a more refined aspect of the human being, is his speech, that one's connection to Hashem and one's ability to tap into godliness is more refined when it comes to speech. This was the taus, the Rebbe says, this was the mistake of thinking midbarech na'ava, that the desert is beautiful. It's true. There's no question that there's something to be said for conversing with Hashem and making the 100 brachas that we spoke about last week, and each bracha is a way of collecting godliness. That's true. But the Rebbe says, and that's what this whole Torah is about, and that's what the whole Maharal has been about until now, until all the Prokem have come to this, that the Ikar is not Dibur, as wonderful as Dibur's speech is. The highest level of serving Hashem is what? Asiya. Physical actions. Because the Rebbe, we were just learning, remember he gave the example of comparing Ri'iyah, vision, sight, and Shmiyah, hearing. And we know that the general principle is that Ein Adam Shmiyah L'Ri'iyah, that seeing is the most exalted of the senses. And yet the Rebbe tells us a remarkable thing. He says that it's interesting that Ri'iyah, sight or vision, which is so exalted, its tfisa, its grasp of reality, is davka extremely coarse. What it grasps, sight, grasps physical things. And hearing, the ability to hear, that sense of hearing, you would say is more edel, because hearing, to hear a niggun, to hear a sound, it means even something that you can't touch. So you would say that it's greater. It's more exalted. But that's exactly the Rebbe's point. What the Rebbe says here, what the Rashab says, was that the greater something is, the more exalted it is, the more it has the ability to infiltrate to the very, very depths of reality. Hearing is wonderful, and it's able to pick up on certain spiritual wavelengths. That's terrific. But seeing is so powerful, that sense of seeing is so great that it's davka taifes the world, the gashmistika world. It davka has a relationship with physical reality. Not because it's inferior, but this is its point of superiority. Like the Rashab says, Dai l'chakim b'rimiza, which means what? When you really, as we spoke about this last week, it was just chasm. When you really love someone, then the words are silly. Words are silly. It's a physical gesture, right, or expression. That's what it means, Dai l'chakim b'rimiza. It means, for a wise person, a hint is enough. A hint is enough. And all of the poems and all of the words and all the speeches don't equal, as I explained last week, don't equal a certain gesture. Now you would say, what are you talking about? A physical gesture, like a certain look, a certain look between a parent and a child, between a chasn and kala, that's a physical thing, a look. But if you say, your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night, that's more spiritual, right? Oh, because it's words. Forget. We know that there's that when it comes to a point where it can't be contained within words, when the feelings are so intense that they must find their way into physical reality, into a mashu. That's the greatest and strongest revelation of self and revelation of the locus of godliness. That's what we're up to. So we're in the Ice Gimel, a little bit above halfway, the middle of the line where it says Uchamay Chain. The first word of the line is Yaiser. It's around 20 lines down. Yeah.
The whole point is to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it matter whether what we're doing by listening is physical or whether it's a bracha or something like that?
So let's keep on going. That's a good question, but let's keep on going. Uchamay Chain. You have the spot? Uchamay Chain. Hamshochas atzmius hasoiviv kol almin hu ayidei mitzvahs ma'isi is davke. The most powerful means of drawing from that surrounding light that we've been talking about, that surrounding light of godliness, that general light that gives, that's infinite, that gives life to all worlds, the way to draw that into reality, into our lives, ayidei mitzvahs ma'isi is davke through the performance of physical mitzvahs. Now we're coming back to what we learned in the Maral. That's why mitzvahs are referred to as planting. Zriya. Kamaya derech mashal. This could be explained with a mashal. Shazorin garin ba'aretz, when a seed is planted in the earth, harizorayna gina ena nacholim. You can't eat the seed from that tree of the garden, of the orchard. You can't eat the seed. Shagarin ein baitam v'reach klal. The seed doesn't have any tam, it has no smell, it has no taste. It has no taste or smell. V'tzemech menu ilan opeiros. Half a bigger thing. From this tasteless little seed comes, you know, a whole orange grove grows. From this tasteless seed. That's what a person feels when he's doing a mitzvah maisis. It's like, what is this? It's a tasteless physical act. When everybody's going and buying, you know, getting all the books on being up in the clouds and discovering the real you, all these books. So then they have such a tam, such a reyach. There's a tam and there's a reyach. With the garin, with the seed, there's bechlal no tam, doesn't have a taste, doesn't have a smell. But from that comes out pears. Fihine. In the earth, there is this ability that the earth has, that when it meets with the seed, that it brings forth the fruit. But all this can only happen with the seed. Without the seed, there cannot be any growth at all. Certainly, there can't be any beautiful growth. And we know that the wild apples that grow in the forest are not as delicious as the apples that are planted with the seeds in the garden. And not all fruits grow on their own. I mean, of course, there are different ways that the seeds are blown from one place to the other. That smicha in your garden, in your orchard, is because you took this tasteless, odorless thing, you put it in the ground, and lo and behold, a delicious fruits come from that. V'hainu dekarech ha-peire hu ba-hagarin. That means that in a mysterious way, the potential of that fruit, of that delicious taste of the orange, of the apple, the potential of that is in a tasteless, odorless seed. Right? Dekarech ha-tzameach shabar, it's moitzi mehelem alagili, that power of growth that is in the earth, that we were talking about in the Maral, that man is called Adam. After the word Adama, right? Adam. That what? That it has the ability to draw out mehelim el agilui from that which is concealed to reveal. B'taysefes meruba. That now you have much, much more delicious fruits. V'hadugma mizeh b'mitzviz. This is what's happening in mitzviz. Sh'nislab shu b'dvarim gashmiyim. Mitzviz are enclothed in tasteless, odorless, physical things such as tzitzis, bitzamer gashmi, the tzitzis that are worn in the cloth, the physical, the cloth, or tefillin beklav hagashmi, and the tefillin that's written on the parchment, the physical parchment, shayfa bekeren shel ayel gashmi, and the shayfa is taken from the animal. V'hein roimzim lemitzvah shalamal. So these physical things to us seem to be tasteless and odorless, without tam, without reich. But really, just like we say, da'al chakim b'remiza, the wise person is able to pick up on gestures, on hints. These physical mitzvahs are hints of something that comes from the highest place that can't even be contained in words. V'hein roimzim lemitzvah shalamal she'en gilui oiris al yoyne, which is a revelation of these supernal lights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meniach tefillin. But the Gemara says that Hashem puts on tefillin. So what does that mean? That means that the tefillin that we wear in this world is a physical gesture or a wink or a nod. That is coming from the tefillin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on. Shein Abba Meichin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezat HaBetzitzes Lam Veis Chut Nehinam Veis Nesiv Shachma. Okay. Shofar, I mean all the things, all the different parts of the mitzvah, all the details of the mitzvah, of course, are remazim, are hints to very great and amazing things. So there are the 32 chutn, the 32 pathways of wisdom, and so far, and the shofar is of course the sound of the shofar laws. B'chinas bina is the quality of bina. When a person learns the kisvari, you see every single detail of the mitzvah, every single detail, but every single prat, how it's connected to all those remazim. And davka, when you carry out the mitzvah according to halacha, that's when you are connecting to and drawing into reality those gestures, those remazim from above. Davka, just like we see, the power, the force of the fruit is davka in the seed. V'loy be'atzim ha'peri. Now, in our mashal here, or in our nimshal, it would be like this. The actual mitzvah that I'm doing is the seed. The feeling that I get of being close, or whatever that might be, the good stuff that comes with the mitzvah, that would be the peiros, right? But what the Rashab is saying here is that the koach of the fruit does not come from the fruit. The koach of the fruit really comes from where? The tasteless, odorless seed. That's where the koach comes from. The meat of the fruit. Even though the fruit itself has a delicious taste and has a nice smell, so that it's a good feeling. That is not the koyach of the fruit. Because if you would cut off a piece of the apple and throw it into the ground, nothing's going to happen. Nothing can grow, nothing can come of it, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. It's a tam, it's a reyach, but that's it. It's for a moment. It passes. Nothing happens. When you eat it, you enjoy the taste. When you walk into the store and you smell, or you walk into the orange grove and you smell, it's a nice smell. But thus is thus. But smicha, that something is happening, that's only with the garin, that's only with the seed. That has bekoyach. All that can happen. All future smicha. Ki im bahagarin shein by tam v'reyach klal. By davka koyach ha'peir, that's what the koyach ha'peir of the fruit is. Ukemoichein, the Rebbe says, davka begashmi is ha'mitzvah. Davka in the physical quality of the mitzvah. Hu kol ha'am shorches v'gilum ha'yoyim. That is what brings about that remarkable growth that's taking place in all worlds. That connection, that in other words, bringing forth into reality a new creation, which means that light that you're drawing from the surrounding light to fill into the inner world, into the inner light that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, that change in reality happens because of the physical mitzvah, not the taste or the smell of the mitzvah, the physical mitzvah, like the physical seed. That's what brings about the transformation of the world, not the taste of the fruit. The taste of the fruit is for a moment. It's delicious, but that's it. That's all there is. But it's through the physical seed that does not have any taste or smell. The davka from there will come out, the tzmicha will come out, the Yeshua. Raksha hazriyat sarachlias ba'aretz davka. So he says, but this can only work with Jews. And there's also all connected to what we learned in the Maral. In other words, you could have the most potent seed, the most powerful seed, but if you plant it in the desert, it's gurnish yourself. You take the seed and you put it into the desert, nothing's going to happen. So we need a shidduch. What's the shidduch? The shidduch is the seed a nishmas Yisrael, a Yiddish and a Shom, a Jewish body. That's how it works. Raksha Zviat Sarach Lias Baritz Davke Vahain Nishmas Yisrael, a Jewish soul, Shnikraim Eretz Chayfetz. That's why the Jewish people are called Atentili Eretz Chayfetz, a desirable land. Rabbi Nachman Breslov used to say that the word Eretz Yisrael means Eretz means Reitzeh. I want Yisrael to be a Yid. I want to be Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz is Lorutz, is Rutz, Lasseh, Svitzan, Kaina. Eretz Chayfetz. The Jewish people are called fertile land, desirable land. Every Jew is fertile soil. For what? For the seeds of the mitzvahs, of the seeds of Hashem's infinite light are planted. And we never see. The difference is that with a tree, with a tree, you might get to see it. Even though lav davka, that's why, you know, you can plant a tree and it's only 70 years later, like, you know, many, many years later, Chanya Magal time, you know, until you see the fruits. Like what we give over to our children, what our parents have given over to us, might take many, many years till you see the fruits. So with trees, it could take a long time till you see the fruit. But when it comes to what's being accomplished with our mitzvahs, we don't see that till 120. We don't see till 120 what it meant when you're half asleep and you put your tefillin on. You made the brach and you put your tefillin on and you're sitting there with a tefillin shayad and tefillin sharosh. The bechlal don't see. It's tasteless and it's odorless. Those who learn Sisrei Torah, they see what's going on. I mean, it's a remarkable thing, but it's Stam Yid. A portion of the Yid, right? I told the Kosta says Stam Yid means Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. Every Jew, even Stam Yid, is Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. Right? So a Yid, when he does these physical actions, that's what's happening. A Jew, only a Jew is called Eretz Chayfetz, fertile soil. Only a Jew is fertile soil for this planting of mitzvahs. Shall yodai tiyatzmich. The kashi is Yisrael oisis a mitzvah. When a Jewish person does a mitzvah, Azaihi mitzvah shenimshachai degilu or ein saif, it's causing there to be a growth, meaning there's a light of Hashem that materializes in this world. You might not feel it or see it. It's called the infinite light of Hashem. Kamei tefillin says, for instance, k'shemunokh na'al shulchan ein a mitzvah. You could have the most beautiful pair of tefillin in the world, and you put the tefillin on the table, and you stare at the tefillin, and you say, and you say all the kavanas of Arizal, and the tefillin are on your table, nothing happens. It's only when the tefillin are put on properly, al pi halacha. Shelo yesh b'zeh shum hamshocha. That doesn't draw anything into the world if you just keep the tefillin on the table. It doesn't change anything in reality. It's like if I get a bag of seeds for apples, and I take out the seed and I put it on my table. And I say to the children, watch, you're going to see. We'll come back. We'll come downstairs tomorrow night. There's going to be an apple tree over here. Chim sugar. Right? Because it's nice that you have the seed, but the seed has to be planted in the soil that's fertile. So a Jew is fertile soil. And a mitzvah has to be planted in that fertile soil that's a Jew. Fine. Tefillin is a holy thing. It's tashmi shekidusha, but it's not poil. It doesn't change anything in reality. There's no growth that comes from a pair of tefillin. Kim kasher ha'odem e'niach tefillin. It's when a Jew puts on the tefillin. Azai hi mitzvah. V'shi enichim dav kibiroi sheval zor. He puts it on properly. K'may b'tzmicha yesh mokam barit shemagdil per. Zu, umokam shemagdil per zu. Just like, so tefillin, you have to put one on the arm and one on the head. Just like when it comes to fruits. If you try to plant some exotic fruit, I don't know. Papaya, is there such a thing? I heard. Okay. So if you try to plant that, you know, in Bensonhurst, probably it's not going to work out. It might not even work out here either. But you have to have the right kind of a soil. This meant that the papaya grows in a warmer climate. It has a certain kind of a climate. It needs that. When it comes to mitzvah, so the tefillin shel yad, the Rebbe Shlomo knows that the tefillin shel yad require that place in reality that's called a Jewish arm. And if you put the tefillin shel yad on your head, you put the tefillin shel reish on your arm, it means it's like you're planting a papaya seed in Brooklyn. Nothing happens. So he says, that's what the Rebbe is saying. Come on, b'smichi, yesh malkam bar shemag del perizu, malkam shemag del perizu. They're different places and different fruits. V'myach leif leitiyat smicha. And if you switch things around, it, nothing's going to grow. So if you tamper with halacha, at any level, if you fool around with halacha, it's not going to grow. And you can be the most spiritual person in the world. And he's shakli and closes his eyes and goes to the mikveh, nothing's happening. Just like it can be the most potent seed in the world, but if you don't put it in the right place, nothing's going to happen. Tmoichein, mitzvahs, yesh mekaymis miyuchadim, there are special places and special times, and kriyashma has a time, and tefillah has a time, and there's a time you have to put on tefillin, and there are times and places where you can't put on tefillin. You can't put on tefillin in a certain kind of a place. You can't daven in this place. And if you say, but I'm so spiritual, I want to be able to say Shemoneh Esrei in the bathroom. Not only is it not a mitzvah, not only is something not growing, but it's causing a churban. Something is being destroyed. Something is getting ruined. It has a time, it has a place. The mitzvah is tefillin davki shmenichin b'roishai v'azor. Tefillin depends upon the head and the arm. Then it causes that growth. Why? Because in the higher realm of existence, which is called Hashem's tefillin, Hashem kivyachol wears tefillin on the head and tefillin on the arm. There's nothing physical, chas v'shalom, but there's something in the higher realm in spirituality that is called Hamshachas Bechinas Gulgalta, which means the skull, Bechinas Karkafta the tefillin. That's what's happening in the higher world. That's the infinite light that's there. As I explained elsewhere, for davka kasha Yisrael oises haMitzvah, davka when a Jew does the mitzvah, nasat smicha, then that growth, that transformation is able to take place. If it's not a Jew, ainam mamshich klum, nothing is being affected. He's not drawing anything from the higher world into this world. The Nikra, listen to this, what? Midbar Ha'amim. It's called the deserts, like it says in the Pasuk, the desert of the nations, Midbar Ha'amim. But what the Rebbe is saying here is that anywhere that a guy lives is called Midbar Ha'amim. Even if he lives in a plush, beautiful place, he's sitting, you know, in Honolulu somewhere, by a five-star hotel, it's called Midbar Ha'amim. It's Gevaldik, no? Why is it called Midbar Ha'amim? It's beautiful. And you have some little yidol that's sitting someplace putting on tefillin, you know, outside of Be'er Sheva with the sand blowing in his eyes, right? That's not called Midbar Ha'amim. And this guy's sitting by the pool, sipping his pina colada, and that's called Midbar Ha'amim in the most gorgeous place. It's called Midbar Ha'amim. Why? Because it's barren. Because he can be a good guy, do nice things. The non-Jew, the guy, he can do nice things, and the Rishon certainly rewards him. If anything, a person does a good thing, he gets rewarded. But transformation, infinite light, inner light, changing reality, drawing godliness into reality, wherever the guy is in this world, it's called a midbar, it's called a desert. And wherever a Jew is, wherever a Jew goes and he puts on tefillin, he says a bracha, wherever a Jew is and he's doing a mitzvah, it's a Gan Eden. It's the most beautiful, lush paradise. That's the chiluk. Nikra Midbar Ha'amim is called the desert of the nations. Tmei Hamidbar Shani Roy Lizria. You know, you can't plant in the desert. It makes no difference how much you can't plant.
Is that together with Shachandi Vesachem, or it's a totally different concept?
No, it's connected to Vesachem. That's the meaning of Hashrosa Shechina Nishu, 100%. Tmei Hamidbar Shani Roy Lizria. Tmei Shkosu Chedlu Mechatas. Vesher Shedvarim Hu. The root of this is, now, I told you that a little bit, that when you learn these Svarim, even though we just had now one of the longest stretches of non-Kabbalah things in the Rebbe Rashab's writings, but he's going to go a little bit into something now, which we're just going to go quickly and learn it in a simple way. What's the Sharish HaDvar? What's the root of all of this? Dinebchinas Malchus, Nikra Eretz Chayfus. Okay. The final level of reality, you know, the highest levels of Chabad, Chachma Bina Das, descending into this world, Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Netzach Hayit, Yisod, our realm of existence, the lowest realm is, of course, Malchus Sheba Malchus. It's the last day of Sfiras Omer, right? It's Malchus Shebamalchus. That's this world. Because the whole process of Sfiras Omer is trying to draw godliness into Malchus Shebamalchus, right? Into the lowest of them. Malchus, now you have to know, the Mekubalim have told us that every single word in Torah, every single reality in Torah, is the revelation of one of the spheres. So Eretz, you understand, it makes a lot of sense that Earth is Malchus. Why? The Earth is Malchus because Earth is the final stop. Malchus means kingship, kingdom. Ein Melech below Am, as the Rebbe is going to say in a second. There is no king without a kingdom. Malchus Hashem, Hashem's kingdom is revealed in the simple and physical way on earth. Therefore, a code word for Malchus is Eretz. Wherever you see the word Eretz, anywhere in Tanakh, it means Malchus. It means the sphere, that quality that's called Malchus, which is humility, which means to receive. Right? That's Malchus. That's David Melech Yisrael Chavikayim. V'haisi shofel be'enai, right, David Melech said? And I am lowly in my eyes. David Melech saw himself as dirt, as nothing. V'haisi shofel be'enai, the earth. Because the earth has nothing of its own, it receives. Eretz Chefetz, the beginning is Chefetz v'rotzen ha'elyon. Now Malchus nikra Eretz Chefetz. The beginning is Chefetz v'rotzen ha'elyon sh'olah b'tzayna onem lo'yichu b'beginning is Malchus. Now what's amazing is as follows. There's a rule in the Sefer Yetzirah that's Soifon knows b'tchilosin, b'tchilosin u'tza b'soifon, which means that the beginning of all reality and the end of all reality are attached. Right? And Cheni b'maglei tzedek, all of reality is a circle, the beginning and the end is attached. Therefore, even though Malchus is the last of all, the lowest of all revelations, the Pasuk says Eretz Chefetz. Eretz means Malchus, which is the final stop, but Chefetz is just the opposite. What does Chefetz mean literally? It means desire. Rotzen, will. Chefetz or Rotzen comes from the highest realm of reality, from the crown, right? Rotzen. Rotzen is something that you don't know why. You want something, you love someone. Why do I love that person? You can't explain. It's just it comes from a higher place. So what's interesting is here in the Pasuk it says Eretz Chefetz. The Jewish people are called Eretz Chefetz. Those are two extremes. Eretz is the lowest level of reality. It means simple pshat. That's Malchus, kingdom. But Chefetz, desire and will, comes from the highest realm of all reality. That comes from that place. That's what he's saying over here. Rotzen Elyon Sha'ol B'Ritzayna Ana Em Loich. Something happened once upon a time. We don't even understand what it means. I'm not allowed to talk about it. But Hashem had the will to be king. He said, Ana Em Loich. Even though the Malchus was only going to be the final stop until there's a physical world, but the first thought is what? Ana Em Loich. I want to be king. For example, if a person is thinking about making a house, so he's saying, Ana Em Loich. I want to rule over this piece of real estate. Right? Now, in his mind, he imagines what the house is going to look like. He could see himself standing in the yard. He could see the kitchen. He's trying to imagine what's going to look like in this room and that room. He has a picture. That's the Malchus. But that Malchus is only the full unfolding and revelation of the original thought. The highest thought was what? I want to have this house. That's before he even spoke to the contractor. That's before he might have even bought a piece of property. That's before he went to Home Depot to get any pipes or wires or whatever. It's before anything. Well, long before Malchus. Malchus of Malchus is putting in the plugs and the pipes and the paint. That's Malchus of Malchus, understand? But at the very, very beginning, the thought was, Ana Em Loich. I have a will to live in a house, and I can even picture the house, prote, that I want to live in. You understand? So the beginning and the end, that's what we say in Luchadaydi, Saif Ma'aseh, Machshavat Chilam. That the final act is the highest thought, is the full unfolding revelation of the highest first thought. So Eretz Chafetz means that the Jewish people alone have this ability through their physical lives, that's called Eretz, which is the simple day-to-day things, which includes the physical acts of putting on tefillin and so on, and making brachas without them. That Eretz, the highest level of will of desire, is revealed through them. There can't be a king without a people. And the people have to be separate from there's the king and there's his kingdom. This is a teaching from his ancestor, from the Baal Tanya. I'm not sure if I should. The best is here that Silas is a savior to you. I'll just do what we need to do. SSVS Blima, Kishal Heves Akshurba Gehelish, and Geholm Leichish, Meir Shom Gilielakus, Vivachavi Had, Viu Gamoichad. He's saying that the coal, the charcoal, the coal, like in the barbecue, the coal itself and the flame or the sparks of the coals and the coal are one, are mamish one. Even though we see this as something which looks like it's separate, but really they're one. He's talking about different levels of reality. That's why I don't get into the Eilimus. You see what it says? A couple of lines down, the first words. Kol asher chofetz Hashem asa. Whatever Hashem desired, He did. That means what we see in this world, that's called, whatever we see in this world, it's in the category of He did. He did it. Hashem made it. Whatever we see is, in the words, Hashem asa. Hashem made it. Kol asher chofetz Hashem asa means that everything that was made in this world comes from that original chofetz, from that rotzen, from that will, that desire. That's the connection between the beginning and the end. Now here, this is a very, very important nakuda here in Chassidus in general, and in what we're talking about befrat. To understand why is it that when a Jew does this, a physical act, when he does a mitzvah, and he does it in a simple way, and he observes the halachas, that is kol asher chofetz Hashem asa, it's eretz chofetz, how does it bring about such an amazing revelation of godliness? So the Rebbe says, through a process that's called bitul hayesh. Now you've heard, some of you have heard of this term, you can't go a page or two in Chabad without seeing it. Bitul hayesh literally means annihilation of self, a nullification of the self, of the ego, of me. Bitul hayesh la'ayin. K'may ha-melech sh'mahapech mi'yesh la'ayin, dimluch yidavke la'avodim sh'nifrodim en ha-melech. What is a malchus? Where is Hashem's malchus revealed? Hashem's malchus is not revealed by the angels. Hashem's malchus is not revealed by the angels. Because the angels don't sense any separate existence. Therefore, what kind of a kingdom is that? Making it very simple. Are you really the king over your children? No. Your children are in the house with you, they come from you, and they grow up dependent upon you. And that's not a malchus. When does a person have a malchus? The malchus is when somebody is separate from you, distant from you. And still, he is nullified to you. He annihilates his presence for you. That's when it's called a real Eved. Right? A child is not an Eved. A child is not a servant. An Eved is someone who is far away. In other words, where is Hashem's Malchus most profoundly revealed? Not in Shemayim. Like we say in the davening of Yom Kippur, Avisa Tehila, Yom Nerayim. Hashem, we don't understand you, but one thing you taught us is that even though you have all these angels that are singing and all that stuff, you desire song and praise from who? From a clump of dirt, a piece of mud, from a putrid seed, Right, the whole thing we say in Yontif. Avisa Tehillah. From him you want. That's what the Baruch Shem says. Because that's where Malchus Hashem is Davka revealed. That when that which is so far away from the king and senses an infinite gap between the infinite one and himself, and Afal Pichein, what? He nullifies his own will. And he says, I'm nothing. I'm Malchus Sheba Malchus. I'm a piece of earth. Like David HaMelech said, Vahisi Shofel Be'enai. I don't have any of my own will. And all I want is what he wants. That's when Malchus Hashem is fully revealed. That's when the highest thought connects to the lowest point in reality. That's what we were saying before. That Davka, the highest, highest level, has the ability to penetrate into the lowest, lowest point of reality. That's what it means. When the people are bottled to the king. That's not chokhmah if you grew up in the palace. The chokhmah is what? If you never were in the palace. You live a million miles away from the palace, like we do from Hashem's palace. We don't know what that means, bechlal. And afal pichen, you bottle to the king. You nullify your own will. You have nothing of your own desire only to serve the king. That Hashem says, "Ano emloich," is in the highest realm. Hashem said, "I want to be king." But where is his kingdom revealed? Not up there. Where is that? Where is the resting place? Where does Hashem's will become realized? Not when he says the words "Ano emloich." You know when? When that little yidl is sitting someplace in the desert, putting on his tefillin. Then, ding, everything lights up. That's Malchus. Not with the angels. Not by the Neshamas. The highest thought of Ano Emloich. The Baruch Hashem says, I want to be king. And that Malchus is not revealed anywhere, at any level, only when it comes into the life of that person who could say there is no king, who could say I never met the king, who could say I don't know what you're talking about, I have my own kingdom. And afal pichein, he pulls himself out of bed and he gets the shul and he davens. Malchus sheba malchus mamish. It's a gilui of atzmus einsof, the infinite essence of God in man. There is no greater revelation of godliness that can be, not in all the olamas, than a koritz michaimer, that a clump of dirt is mevatel his essence, is mevatel his existence to do the ratzon Hashem. That's Malchus Hashem.
Wouldn't it then be that the Malchus can come even stronger by a guy? It's even further away.
No, it's not in the chart. It's Bechla, it's not fertile soil. It's Gaitnish, it doesn't go. When Hashem said, Ano Emloich, he meant Ano Emloich in a certain specific exact way. What the guy accomplishes with the seven mitzvahs, as we learned with the Maral, that it's a shmira on the Seder of the Veld, that we learned. And to that extent, the Ben Noach, the Goy, has his part in creation. But as far as drawing from the infinite light of God, Ano Emloich means, Hashem is saying to each and every one of us, plant the seed in the soil. Hashem says, Ano Emloich, I'm giving you the seed. Plant it. How do you plant it? You put on film, you plant this, you say Shemanasa, you plant it. And then there's the Tzmich. Hashem, that's what it means, Bitl Hayesh. See, it doesn't have any tamidas. It's tasteless. It's odorless. That's davka. That's davka. What it means to be an Eved Hashem. What do you think the guy that's serving the king in the imagine this. The king tells the Eved, I want you to take all the garbage from the back of the palace, and I want you to drive it over to the dump. So this Eved says, yes, your highness. And the king comes back an hour later, and the Eved is sitting there next to the dump, and he's staring at it. And the king says, what are you doing? He says, I'm just reading, there's a book here, Kabbalah for the layman. And I'm trying to get Kabbalistic to understand why the king wants me to do this, to move the garbage from here. Because I personally think the garbage should stay here. So I'm trying to get into it. I'm trying to taste and to smell what the king wants me to do. So that servant is Nishkan Evid. He's Mishav ben Avshah Fakir. He could be killed for doing such a thing. He'll be executed. It's not a Malchus. It's not an Evid. Right? An Evid means what? Bitl Hayesh, no Chachmas. That's what he's saying. Hachanis, the inyan of Hachanis, which the tzaddikim made, the such a beginning, the hachana, the mitzvahs, first of all, it's for Baal Madrega. There's no question that to the extent that a person makes the hachana and it doesn't interfere with the kima mitzvah, where the person, where like Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner says, if you can eat the matzah on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to blow the shofar by the seder. So then nothing happens, or it could be worse, it could be something great is happening. But when the hachanas are made by a Jew who understands the zivig that's taking place between the highest will and the lowest reality, those meditations and those hachanas intensify not just the experience, it's not the tachlis, but can intensify the level of tzmicha, of growth that takes place. There's a big nafkim in it. There's a big difference.
So in the mashal, how does it differ from someone who's sitting and trying to understand it kabbalistically? How is a hachana different than that?
Because his investigations are in order to understand, in order that he should have a tam, and he should have, that there should be a tam and there should be a reyach. That's not why the tzaddik is making a hachanas, that there should be a tam and there should be a reyach. And when it comes down to it, that's why I told you about Reb Leibler. I told Reb Leibler Eger, with all the hachanas for 7 hours, but when he did the ma'aseh, he did it by pashtus mamash. He did it by pashtus mamash. And you saw that by a lot of tzaddikim even with davening, that the hachanas were for hours, but the tefillahs were regular tefillahs. There's burdeners. There's burdeners, but the tefillah was mamish. Rav Naftali Rapshitz had a very good sense of humor, you know that? He's famous for that. He was very sharp and he had a very good sense of humor. So the Rebbe Rav Naftali Rapshitz said that, he used to make a lot of jokes, and his Rebbe, the Chayzer, the Siv Lublin, the Chayzer didn't was already getting very upset with the joking. And he told Naftali Rapshitz that, I don't want to hear for 1 year not one joke come out of your mouth. For a year. So Tzadik says, okay, Rabbi, fine. So that afternoon by Mincha, so the Rebbe is diving, the Chayzer is diving a very long Shema Esrei. So during the time when they're all waiting for the Rebbe, the Rebbe is going around, and he starts calling out, and he just calls out, did anybody see somebody here I need someone with a white beard. Davas aboard. They say, why, when Naftali, somebody comes to the white beard, why? Because I want to know if there's anybody here that remembers when the Rebbe started Shemin Esrei. So everybody starts to laugh. It's a whole tumult, you understand? Everybody's laughing. And after the Rebbe takes 2 steps back and he sees that there's a commotion and everybody, and he looks at Rav Naftali and he knows that the Olam is laughing. He knows that Naftali. So after diving, he comes over to Naftali. He says, I told you that I don't want to hear a joke from a year. He says, Shine along. It's a long time since a year when the Rebbe started Shemin Esrei. That's how he said. I kept what the Rebbe said. That's what he said. So, you know, the Chayzer left, and that was the end of it. The Gzeirah was cancelled. So the Rapshitz's Mahalach was different, you understand? The Rapshitz had a Mahalach. The Kotzko, so the Davening was a little. Tahachan is. But they avoided, there were those that they wanted to avoid Davkim Pshitas. Davkim Pashtas. This is a big sugi. It's a very big sugi. It's not for now.
Could it be that the Tahachan is more like putting on the gloves and getting it. It's not trying to understand what the Maestro's Tabbalah is preparing.
Probably. It's not so easy to say that. I don't know. It's not so easy to say that. But the Indian of Hachan is an important thing, but it needs to be discussed separately. So he says, look, this is the point. V'hainu lo api atam v'das, tesvav das, tesvav tam v'das. Means without any taste, without any understanding. Kim ha'nachas atz, b'hanachas atz musa. What does it mean, ha'nachas atz musa? It means I put my will aside, and I live according to God's will. My will is to stay in bed. God told me to get up to daven. I put myself aside for him. That's malchus shuva malchus mamash. Okay, bitl ha'amel ha'melech. It's the same way with the people and the subjects of the king. Any mitzvah sogas ha'mayel of yidias kechayisav. That's because I understand how great the king is. That's what it means to be an eved, because I understand my king is better than your king. No, that's what it means to be a bottle. You don't really know who the king is. You don't know his inner life. Kim, what does it mean to be a servant? It means to put your will aside to observe the king's will. K'merchein bitl ha'yesh de'b'chines malchus u'b'chines kabolus al malchus shamayim shalo al pitam v'das. That's what it means, to accept the yoke of heaven shalo al pitam v'das without having to understand. That doesn't mean you can't appreciate the king, to appreciate the Mevav. You learn the Mitzvah your whole life, you try to understand. But that's not why I do it. That this is the highest neshamas of the Jews. The Jews come from such a high place, and the neshamas come from the highest place. They descend into this physical world. So you look at a Jew, and he looks the same as a guy. You don't see any difference. And you say the Jew goes to the bathroom, and so does the guy. And you say that the Jew has to eat, and so does an animal. Animal also eats. When a doymel malachim sheish lam gamkin gufim, a malach has a very refined and sublime spiritual type of thing that's called a body. But this is exactly what he's to go down two lines. That's also a level of bitlayesh. In other words, you stand absolutely overwhelmed with the thought of God. That's certainly a level of bitlayesh. But still, it's Rachel's bit la yesh ruchni mnei shayesh nas bezev loy b'chinis yesh mamish. That level of bit la yesh is not as great, is not exalted as the bit la yesh that takes place in the most basic physical level. Because the spiritual that person who reaches that high madrega of understanding, let's say, there's a yesh. He still has a yesh. There's something there of himself. But the one who has absolutely nothing of himself, he's emptied out. That's mamish yesh me'ayin. Okay, go on. The next page. We skip a little bit. Let's finish up. It talks about Malachim there. Go down around 8-9 lines where it says Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, like 7 lines. Kuf Beis Ayin Mem Vav Shin. Right? That's why Jews are called Eretz. Eretz Chayfetz. These are Medrash Rabbah. It says in the Medrash, Loma Nikra Shema Eretz. Why is the earth called Eretz? Because she desires and wills to do the will of her master. That's the nature of the earth. That's what the Jewish people are compared to the earth. That's what the purpose of man's existence, the Adam, who's supposed to be like the Adama. Gam Eretz HaKol Doshen Aleh. Not only that, but everybody stomps on the earth. Everybody steps on the earth. Shezeu Inin Bit LaYesh. It has no reality of its own. You can step on her. She doesn't resist if someone steps on the earth. But if someone says to you, I don't like what you said yesterday. What do you mean? What are you talking about? It's better than anything you ever said. And how could you said, you know who I am. So, you know, I'm a Ben Achaben from the original. Whatever. You know, you have make a whole tum. The earth doesn't do that. The earth, why? Because that's what it means. It doesn't have an ego. It's colorless, it's odorless, it's tasteless. In that respect, it doesn't have itself. That's why the earth is not insulted if you step on it. The earth will allow you to step on her. Other things resist. Other things will react. Other things do not want to be stepped on. But the earth has that quality of what is in bit layesh, shlo al piatam. That's why the Jewish people are called a land that is fertile or desirable. That through the physical actions of performing the mitzvahs, like it says in the davening, planting righteousness, the growth of salvation. That's what it means when it says in the Pasuk, Adon Melech said, your mitzvahs are very expansive. What does it mean? It means when I look at this mitzvah, I see like a little seed. I see a pair of tefillin. It's nothing. But the mitzvah is, it's very expansive. What you see is just that little thing. Right? She says, our mitzvahs hang kelim, rechov mekabachnis ma'oi. That the mitzvah, even though it's tiny, it's like a little seed, the mitzvah has the ability to receive, to be a means of conducting into this world that reality that's ma'id, that's expansive. Ma'id ha'elyon ha'bli gvul, that's without boundary. Olamala harbi magilu de gan eden, shnizbor le'eshul gilu b'chinis mahus ha'or. He goes a little bit into Kabbalah, so we don't need to go into that now. And that's where we come to the last few lines over there. V'inyan hadira. You remember we began, the beginning of this Torah was that Chazal tell us that Nisavakash Baruch Lisli Dir B'sachatayim, Hashem desired to dwell in the lower world. So the question is, what does that mean, the lower world, the higher world? Hashem fills all worlds. What does that mean, to dwell in the lower world? So Rabbi says, now we understand. V'inyan hadira hu sheyegilui k'may odam hadar b'bayis. It's called a dira. In other words, this world is called Hashem's dira. Hashem, like someone who dwells in a house. When you dwell in your house, it means that you are revealed in your house. That's where your presence is found, in your house. So too, Hashem wanted to be revealed in this world, that His presence should be revealed in this physical world. That the infinite light of God should be revealed in this world, not that you could see it with your eyes. That's the meaning of the lower world. Means physical mitzvahs. Means Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in the lower world, means in tefillin and tzitzis, in the Sefer Torah, in your house, talking nicely to your kids, all of these things. The mitzvahs ma'isis of a bitl hayayish, to nullify your own will, your own desire. Zel nesinas aris la'avram la'zarachav, and that's why Eretz Yisrael was given to Avram Avinu, to his children. That Avram Avinu was given for his children. Avram Avinu's whole bechina was what? Anoichi, Ofra v'Efra. I'm dust and ashes. And that the children of Avram Avinu were promised Eretz Yisrael. Because Davka, that place in the world, is the place where all the mitzvahs ma'isiyas, all the physical mitzvahs, can be fully kept and fully activated, and all the iris, all the higher infinite light of Hashem can be drawn into physical reality. That's the union of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, therefore, was given to Avram Avinu and his descendants. The whole union of Avram Avinu was the 10 nisyonis, the 10 tests of Avram Avinu, which meant bitl hayesh, nullification of self, prepared to give up his child, prepared to give up everything just for the sake of being an Eved Hashem. That is the connection between the highest level of Malchus, the highest level of the crown, of Keser, the highest first thought, and the lowest level of physical reality, which is Malchus of Malchus, which means being in Eretz Yisrael, being Shomer Mitzvahs, keeping all 613 mitzvahs. The Jewish people are called Eretz Chayfetz, in the land that is the land of Hashem's desire, which is Eretz Yisrael. That's the ultimate gilu that's going to be revealed with the coming of Mashiach. If you want to take a look yourselves, you'll see that it's Maridik, how he connects it all to the meaning of Hayik Yisov al Haaretz. Okay, good. So Adkan.